Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome on Manx Radio AM 1368 to Saturday Sport Classified. Results, reaction and analysis to the sporting action taking place on the Isle of Man this afternoon. We'll kick things off straight away with your classified results for Saturday, the 3rd of May 2025. So, starting with football. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. Ramsey 3, Peel 1 after extra time. Laxey 9, Douglas High School Old Boys 0. The Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals. Braddon 5, Colby 2. Canada Life Combination 1. Foxdale 0, Onken 2. In rugby, local friendly match, Southern Nomads 50, Isle of Man Barbarians 24. The Manx Cup final, Douglas 74, Vagabonds 19. Those are your classified sporting results on the Isle of Man for Saturday, the 3rd of May 2025. We're going to turn our attention first to the footballing side of things, and with it very much being crunch time across the respective competitions this season, the campaign shortly coming to a close over the space of this month, the cup competitions are very much in the spotlight, and one of those among the action today was our football correspondent, Tony Meppenwell. Well, Tony, before we get to the results today, of course, some sad news today, unfortunately, in the Isle of Man football community. For those who haven't seen the news coming out of Moran AFC today, the club has confirmed the death of its president and treasurer, Keir Morris. In a statement, the Moran AFC first team manager, Dave Brew, has said the following: "It's with a very heavy heart that I have to let you know that our president, treasurer and big brother, Keir Morris, sadly passed away late yesterday. Keir was instrumental in our two promotions over the last 10 or so years. He changed the way we trained and the way we approached games. We were clear and by far the fittest team in the division, and that's down to him. The Bibs have not been the same these last two seasons without him. We still spoke at least twice a week about the club. He loved the club and it was in his heart to the end. We won't get a minute's silence, but we'll raise a glass or two at the dinner. Mo, I'm going to miss you, buddy." That's the tribute from Moran AFC first team manager Dave Brew following the passing of Moran AFC president and treasurer Keir Morris. And Tony, Keir is someone that you've conversed with many times in your capacity with the Isle of Man FA over the years. A sad loss for Manx football.
Absolutely. Many years I've known Keir. He first started all off when I got to know him was at St George's. He was marvellous down there, not only as a coach, but just his input into the club, because he had a wise head. He was very, very knowledgeable in football, in coaching, and it was just the whole sort of thing about him. He was an absolute gentleman, but could get his comments over the line of what he wanted from his players, what he wanted from his club. And I think it was a big, big loss when he left St George's, but he went to Moran and made new friends, and David Brew was probably his best friend there, and himself and David, you know, stood together, you know, for a long, long time, and just sort of pushed Moran on to where they are now, and incredible job that they did. And you know, every game that I was down at Moran playing fields, Keir always came and spoke to you. He always had the time to just chat about Manx football, where it was going, and whenever he had phoned, you'd always sort of sit down and listen to whatever he was saying. So yeah, it's a big loss. Doreen, I know personally as well, that's his wife, and you know, the two boys as well, both of them, Ali and Stuart, played for Moran, scored many goals in that club, and he had many happy occasions watching them score those all-important goals. So, yeah, I'm pretty certain that when you look at the people around Moran Football Club, they'll sort of have a beer on him. There's no doubt about that. And we knew it was coming. You know, Keir's not been well for quite a while now. And I just feel that, you know, everyone in Manx football who knew him, he's touched part of their lives. And let's just hope that, you know, the club can get over this. I'm sure they will. The family as well. At the moment, our thoughts on behalf of myself, but also the Isle of Man Football Association, and I would say the Isle of Man football fraternity that knew him. It's a sad loss. And our thoughts are with you all.
And just actually looking today on social media, whilst I've been in here in Broadcasting House today, is the tributes coming from elsewhere, the likes of St George's, and also certain players as well I've seen out there as well, talking about the impact that they've had on their individual playing careers in Manx football or elsewhere as well. So it goes beyond his affiliations with just the likes of Moran and St George's.
Yeah, and I think what a lot of it will be down to is actually a lot of Ireland players. Because, you know, when you look at Chris Bass Jr., Johnny Myers, Sean Quay, Julian Ringham, Callum Morrissey, you could go on with the list of players that he's had coached and played parts of developing them into footballers. And then he's just been involved in most age bands. So I think it's rightly so that everyone sort of feels the pain that the family are probably going through now. And he's played a huge part in Manx football. Different eras, a lot of the players now won't know who Kia was, but certainly people at St George's have been there for a long time, and Moran as well, will remember every little bit of him. And, you know, credit to him, an absolute fantastic man. And I know people say a legend. He was a legend in those two clubs and a legend in Manx football.
Absolutely. Well, there are tributes being paid to former Moran AFC president and treasurer Keir Morris following his passing late yesterday. Turning our attention then to the footballing action that's been taking place on the Isle of Man today. Much of the focus once again has been on cup competitions, specifically the semi-final stages of two competitions today, I should say, three over the course of this weekend. The two of those today, the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals, two of those today, and one of the Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals taking place today. Tony, we'll start with the game that you were at today, one of the Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals, and that saw Division 2 and Woods Cup champions Braddon up against Colby, and Colby may be hoping for a bit of a cup set, if you like. I've heard the phrase used before, and seemed like a close game to start with, but just seemed to get away from them. Braddon just showing their quality in front of goal, particularly in the second half. They are through to another final and potentially on course for a treble this season. Braddon beating Colby by 5-2.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad game, to be fair, and when it all started off, it was nice and tight, as you would expect, but it didn't take long for Jordan Edge to break the deadlock, because it was a good free kick on the goalkeeper's right-hand side, and he crossed it in, and Jordan Edge hit it superbly, sweet with his left foot, past the goalkeeper it went, and 1-0 to Colby after 7 minutes. And then 7 minutes later, Steve Collister thought he'd made it two, because a good effort from him, he's always a threat, and he hit the bar. But unfortunately, it was one of those sort of lack of concentration things, and Liam Kane, it was on the left-hand side, and he crossed the ball straight through, skipped the centre forward, but there was Nick Harvey on the half, just in between the sort of goal area and inside it, and he hit it well and past the goalkeeper it went to make it 1-1. And then unfortunately it looked like you know, there was an infringement in the area from our distance anyway, and a penalty was awarded. And Dan Kinraid, the number 10, stepped up, and goalkeeper Jay Gandy went right-hand side, and Dan Kinraid went right the way through the middle. 2-1 it was to Braddon at 19 minutes. Carl Hickey had a really good shot. It looked as if it was going to go into the back of the net, but what a super save by Freddie Quilliam to keep it at 2-1 to Braddon on 33 minutes. But in the second half, it just went absolutely mental, because within 9 minutes, it was 3-1. And this time it was Mark O'Neill inside the penalty area. He just dummied the centre-back, played a nice ball through to Joe Burrows, and he finished it off to make it 3-1. 2 minutes later, the fourth was in, and Ben Long did some really good work on the right-hand side inside the penalty area. Little high flick up, and Liam Kane was there, put it to the goalkeeper's left-hand side. 4-1 it was, and Liam's not going to miss chances like that one. But then, unfortunately, 3 minutes later, the fifth one went in, and this time an own goal. But I don't blame Martin Vegas-Brown, the centre-back for the number five for Colby. He couldn't do anything about it. The ball was coming in at power, and he headed it, and it just continued over the line. I think it's an own goal. It hadn't crossed the line, and he directed it. But then Colby did get one back towards the end. Substitute Paul Whitley made it 5-2, but it didn't matter. Colby deserved it in the second half performance, and they go through to the final. We haven't got a date. We haven't got an opposition, but a good result for them.
So would it be fair to say that a 10-minute spell in the game has cost Colby in this one?
Very much so, and they'll know that. They had chances in the second half, Colby. Not many. Colby had quite a few, but it was just a little bit of miscommunication at the back for Colby. I think that found them out. Carl Hickey couldn't really get too many chances on goal. He had a couple of half chances, but just all round, Braddon looked the well-equipped team. Joe Burrows will always come up with the important goals. Liam Kane, we know what a threat he is, but just all round, they were better. And I thought Freddie Quilliam did really good in what he had to do in keeping the goals out to stop Colby getting back into the game.
Do Just a reminder as well, for those who don't know, the other Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-final between Ramsey Central All Boys and Douglas High School All Boys, that's due to take place next Tuesday, the 6th of May. That game is rescheduled due to Douglas High School All Boys' involvement in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup this afternoon. That's the competition we're going to turn to now, because both semi-finals took place there. First off, we're going to turn to the All-Premier League affair that took place at the Ballacloan Stadium today. The defending champions, Ramsey, up against this season's Canada Life Men's Premier League champions, Peel. And nothing to separate these two sides after 90 minutes, Tony. But the Northerners getting the job done in extra time on what was a beautiful day for football at the Ballacloan Stadium today. Ramsey, their second final in as many years, beating Peel by 3-1.
Yeah, congratulations to Ramsey. Commiserations to Peel. We said last night that this was going to be tight, and it was tight because it went to extra time, and it wouldn't have been fitness. I think it's just the finishing powers of Ramsey. Matthew Jauncey it was who got the goal in the first half. 46 minute was first minute of injury time in that first period. It was a penalty, and it was just one of those 50-50 penalty, I think the way it's been described to me, but the referee just said no, it's a penalty, and Matthew Jauncey scored it, and 1-0 it was. But then when you got people like Thomas Brown in your side, Peel always knew that they had a good chance, and on 73 minutes Thomas Brown made it 1-1, and 1-1 it was into the extra time. That's where it all sort of changed, because 5 minutes into extra time, Ollie Ayres got a goal. Now I've marched on about him a couple of times now. I just think he's a real prospect for the Senior Ireland team, and he scored an absolute belter to make it 2-1. And then Charlie Higgins, who made it all nice and safe on the 109th minute to make it Ramsey 3, Peel 1.
And in the other semi-final over at Glen Road, that saw Laxey taking on Douglas High School Old Boys, who, while in Division 2, have been promoted to the Canada Life Men's Premier League next season after winning against Ramsey Centre and Old Boys in midweek at Blackberry Lane. So maybe a bit of a litmus test in some ways for Douglas High School Old Boys going into next season. Laxey will have been hoping to avoid any form of complacency, and they've certainly done that today. So we are going to have a repeat of last year's Hospital Cup final, because Laxey have beaten Douglas High School Old Boys by 9-0 this afternoon.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Rob. It's given Old Boys a direction of what's coming next season, because you know, Laxey are a good side, but you know, they didn't win the league or anything, so it's proved a tough afternoon for them. Ben Wazza got the first 3 goals, so they were 3-0 up, and Ben had scored them all. And then I think it was George Burrows who made it 4. Ben Wazza got another goal to complete his 4 goals, and George Burrows got another one. And second half substitute Eric Hill came on, and didn't take him long. He got one, I think, within a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, and then he got a second one. And Matty Ogden got the other one. So a really comfortable result. And as you rightly say, it's a repeat of last year's Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final. It's Ramsey against Laxey.
That final due to come up in 2 weeks' 17th, time on
2 weeks
the 17th.
Today.
Yes, indeed. So we can preview it nearer the time, Tony, but just on the face of it, at least, exciting times for Ramsey and Laxey.
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, last year was pretty exciting for the... Well, not exciting. It was, the game was okay, but it all sort of went pear-shaped towards the end. But we'll leave it at that one. But, you know, I think Ramsey have shown... They've grown into the league in the second part of the season, and in this cup they've had a really good run. And when you sort of look, they're in the Cal Cup final as well. Time is on their side, isn't it? They've got a lot of good young players coming through, so they're only going to get stronger and stronger. But Laxey have equally got a really talented bunch coming through. There's an awful lot of that in Manx football at the moment. It's a real golden sort of age for, you know, 16, 18-year-olds, given the opportunity to play and actually ousting some of the top boys out of their position. But, you know, it's hard to say. We'll see what players are available near the time. There's a couple of weeks, and I think Ramsey have got a stag weekend next week as well. So there's still plenty of celebrations to go on. But, you know, congratulations to both clubs, and well done to Old Boys, to be honest with you, to get into the semi-final and getting promoted midweek. That's what it's all about, and well done to them.
So, yes, Ramsey will take on Laxey in a repeat of last year's Hospital Cup final for the 2025 version of the event in 2 weeks' time on the 17th of May. Well, outside of the cup competitions, we did have just the one league game taking place, a bit of a clearing-up process. That was in Canada Life Combination 1, where bottom of the table, Foxdale came up against newly crowned Canada Life Combination 1 champions, Onken. They won the league title in midweek after not having to kick a ball, in fact, because of their nearest challengers, Ramsey, suffering a 4-2 defeat at the hands of Russia Preston United. So the last game of the season for both these sides, not going to affect the table. Finished at Billy Goat Park today. Foxdale nil, Onken 2. Onken winning the season, a very positive season for them. But Foxdale, Tony, although bottom of the table this season, a respectable scoreline for them against the champions.
Yeah, it is. And well done to Foxdale. And pitch was in good condition. Every pitch now is starting to grow. And it was Tom Lancaster with a brace with the two goals for Onken. And congratulations to them. I know midweek might have put a little bit of a dampener on it, but it made them go into this game a lot more relaxed because it didn't matter what happened in it. So I know the boys are probably up the Manx Arms now, just having a few beers, and rightly so as well. And Braddon will be as well, because both teams, Onken's championship win in Combination 1 and Braddon's championship win in Division 2, both trophies were presented today. Players, enjoy yourselves. You've had an incredible season. Braddon have got a little bit more to go, but Onken retain their premiership place, which was important for them. And with the players that they've got coming through, there's good years ahead for them all.
Just before we take a look at what's coming up tomorrow, because of course there's more cup action on the Isle of Man tomorrow, Tony, we do have a bit of an update with regards to the Cowell Cup competition as well.
Yeah, a little bit of confusion what's going on, and what's happened is that the game midweek, Rushen were beaten 1-0 by Braddon, but since then we've just checked on things, and a player for Braddon shouldn't have played. Now, that's not Braddon's fault. It's an error by the Isle of Man Football Association. We take responsibility on that one. And we looked at it with the disciplinary issues with it. And it was quite clear that the indications hadn't gone out to Braddon that the player was suspended. So we sat and looked at it hard last night. And we've decided, with the agreement of both clubs, to replay the game. But the player will miss the game because, unfortunately for him, the suspension will stand. So that's the plan. So that means we've lost our final date, which was next Thursday. So the rearranged game, which is Braddon at Braddon against Rushen, will be played next Wednesday. And then we're going to have a look at the Cowell Cup final, because the date provisionally put down again for the second time will now have to be reviewed, because obviously Ramsey are in both. You can't really expect a lot of players to be playing in both games when there's a lot of players from that Cowell Cup team playing in the first team. So we'll have a look at that one. We haven't got a date yet anyway.
Okay, Tony, thank you for that update there. Well, before we let you go, we'll just take a quick look at what's going on tomorrow, because the cup action is continuing. The Ascot Hotel Junior Cup semi-finals taking place. Four teams still vying for a place in that final. So with those two ties, we'll take a look at the one between St Mary's and Rushen United. Tony, where do you see this one going?
Well, I think Rushen at the moment are looking favourites for this competition, because they've been strong right the way through. They've got some good players qualified, as well with St Mary's, they have as well. And any team with Jamie Skillen in, they can score some goals, and if he plays, then that'll make it difficult. This game is played at the Bowl. We've got the Bowl for them, but it's 2:30 kickoff, not 2 o'clock. It's been changed purely to the booking. You know, St Mary's will make it difficult. It's a big pitch, but I think Rushen United will just prove a little bit too strong to St Mary's.
And in the other semi-final tie, St John's United have taken a couple of big scalps in this competition already, including Onken, the Combination 1 champions. In fact, they'll be up against Ayr United.
Yeah, and I think, again, you know, St John's start off as favourites in this. Ayr United, a lot of players in that team that I haven't been able to watch. So a bit of unknown source, but the reports last week when I heard when they played Corinthians, it was one of those that, you know, Ayr United just had a little bit more savvy. But St John's have got the league's top goal scorer in there, Liam Sale, and I'm pretty certain that he'll be looking to continue his good run in this cup competition, scoring goals. So I'm going to go for St John's and Rushen for the final.
So, Tony, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning our attention to rugby, it has been a busy afternoon at Ballofletcher for the big finale to the 2025 season, including the highlight of the weekend, the Manx Cup final between Douglas and Vagabonds. That, the main event around a number of activities taking place at Ballofletcher today to sign off the current rugby campaign. To go through everything with us, as always, is our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian. Well, Dave, let's start with the big one, the Manx Cup final between Douglas and Vagabonds. Douglas looking to retain their title up against Vagabonds, and they've managed to do that today, haven't they?
Yeah, final score 74-19. It sounds a little bit one-sided. I guess probably on balance it was, but that's not totally unexpected, given that Douglas are the dominant side right now. They went into the lead first 5 minutes. It was Kyle Martin with the first of his two first-half tries. And we thought, OK, business as usual, going to be a big score this afternoon. But to Vagabond's credit, they scored pretty much straight away. Afterwards, there was an attempted charge down of a kick, and somebody got a hold of it from the Douglas side as Vagabonds were trying to make the kick. And the ball could have bounced anywhere, and unfortunately, it bounced, for Douglas at least, it bounced behind their back line. Vagabond's quickest to react, chucked it up to the other end, and Matty Jones managed to squeeze over for the try. Dan Bonwick converted that, and with sort of 8 minutes or so on the clock, Vagabonds were actually in the lead 7-5. But from that point onwards, it was pretty much one-way traffic. Mark Oldfield went over for Douglas, Nathan Robson, the skipper Blake Snell with a big run, about 40 metres on his own. Harry Hewson went in, James Ross went in. And while all that was happening, Nathan Robson added four conversions as well. And by half-time, Douglas were 43-7 ahead. It was looking unlikely Vagabonds were going to hit back too quickly, and fair play, they didn't. Mark Oldfield went in for his second of the game. Adam Convig went in for his first try for Douglas. While all that was happening, though, Vagabonds got down the other end, and they had a driving line-out 5 metres out. The drive came, inched towards the line, and Matty Jones just squeezed off the back for his second of the game. Back down to the other end, though, and it was more business for Douglas. Prop forward Rich Bell, he scored twice, which was great for him because he set up Douglas's first two tries in the first half. So a great all-round game from the big prop. And Brendan Kelly went over. He came on as a late replacement for Nathan Robson. He picked up a try as well. And to be fair to Vagabonds, they kept plugging away. They got their reward. Set back move. Cam Finlay sliced through the Douglas line, and he ran 40 metres to score under the post. Added the conversion himself. But by that stage, it was all over, bar the shouting. There was plenty of that afterwards, and Douglas, worthy champions. Nobody really got near them. I think the closest score in their various qualification games was a 50.5 win over Ramsey. So they are that much better than everybody else right now. So fair play to Douglas. And again, fair play to Vagabonds. They made a game of it. And Douglas will definitely know they've had a match this afternoon. It wasn't all one-way traffic, even though the scoreline perhaps flatters Douglas a little bit. But fair play. If you do the hard work, you get the reward at the end of it. And before that game, there was the Manx Plate game. Now, I'd originally been told this was a friendly between Southern Nomads and an Isle of Man Barbarian team. Of course, Ramsey withdrew from the competition. So the Barbarians stepped up. They put up a good fist of it, but it was Nomads won that one 50 points to 24. So a bit of a reward there for big Steve McHugh and Al Curran, the two coaches for Nomads. They took over mid-season, and they got a little bit of silverware to give them a little spring in the step at the end of the season.
Just coming back to the Manx Cup final, Dave, and a point you raised about Douglas and Vagabonds and the competitive side of it. And when we spoke on Friday Sport Preview last night, you were hopeful that even if there is a bit of a gulf in terms of the leagues, these two playing throughout the regular season, you were hopeful that Vagabonds could show some positives today. They've put up a good fight despite the scoreline.
Yeah, definitely. They were missing a couple of players as well. The player that stood out in the games I've been watching them in the league so far this season has been Tom Gascoigne. He's a police officer, so I think his shifts might have coincided at the wrong time. But Tom not playing today, that would have weakened them a little bit in the back row. But, you know, there is a big gulf in the playing levels. Douglas at level 6, Vagabonds at level 9. Doesn't sound like it's that much, but the effort and commitment required from the players at that level 6 is so much harder than it is down at 9. They're expected to do extra training. They're spending time building up muscle mass. And they really are a different physical characteristic to the average club player down at the level of Vagabonds, Ramsey and Southern Nomads. So it is a big effort to play against them, and fair play to Vagabonds as well. They've had a tough season. That run from Christmas to the end of the season has been horrible for them. It was the week before last, I think they played 3 games in 7 days. It's really been punishing. And that's for a really grassroots amateur level. It's an awful lot of commitment to ask for the players. A fair play to them all, because they've stood up and they've been counted when it matters. And, yep, it would have been nicer to see a closer game, but the cards you dealt with are the ones you've got to play with. And unfortunately, we're a kind of small community over here, and there's not much option for anything else.
Well, we'll wrap up the season in more detail at a later time, but just quickly before taking a look at the other game, Douglas, dominance from them in the local competitions, and of course a record high finish in Regional 2 Northwest in the league this season. Do you think Phil Kringle will be feeling positive about his team's campaign?
Oh, most definitely. I think the place he'll look first is the bonus point column in the league table. That tells them if there are losing bonus points, that there are some additional points they can pick up in league matches. Bonus point for losing if you finish within 7 of the opposition, which is a converted try. So if you've got 2 or 3 losing bonus points in your bonus point column, you've got a little bit of work to do, but not that much to gain more positive results. I know they're advertising for players. They're offering a relocation package for anybody coming to the island. So they're obviously looking to build for next season. They want to try and go one level up if they can. They weren't too far away. I think they finished 6th. 3-4 wins might have put them up there in amongst the promotion places. And that's not that much work for him to do next season. He gets a couple of players in, he won't be too far away.
And just finally, before we let you go, on the Manx Plate final, as it turned out to be, I know when we spoke about this last night, it was still a bit up in the air as to whether it'd be a friendly or a competitive game, but Southern Nomads beating an Alaban Barbarian size by 50 points to 24. As you pointed out before, there'll be a nice little positive to add to the end of the Nomads campaign.
Yeah, I mean, they had their Cheshire final and they were completely outgunned by Port Sunlight, and that was a team that they'd beaten in the qualification stages. I know they were very disappointed at the end, and I think Sunlight were 34-0 up at half-time, but Port Sunlight had seen Nomads play. They'd had the home defeat in the qualifying competition. They knew what they had to do to beat them, and that was keep the ball away from the Nomads' backline. They did that, and the Port Sunlight forwards just smacked into them time and time and time again and ground them away, and a 34-0 half-time lead was pretty much unassailable. Take the second half in isolation, Southern Nomads outscored Port Sunlight in that second half in that Cheshire final, and they managed to get the ball to the back line. All the points come through the backs, and I think Sunlight had just put that much more effort in the first half, and maybe they were a little more sluggish around the pitch. But that will have been a great boost for Nomads. I was there for that, and I know that the squad and the supporters that travelled had a great day out there at Chester Rugby Club. Coming back here and picking up the Manx Plate at the end of the season, that for Nomads will tell them they're the third-ranked side on the island. I know Ramsey will have some words to say about that, but Ramsey withdrew from the competition, so you can't have your cake and eat it. So Nomads, I think, will be very, very pleased to pick up that Manx Plate. And next season, who knows? They've had a couple of players come in, Max Elwig, one of them, and chatting to the Nomads coaches. Max is a doctor on assignment at Nobles, and they're not sure whether or not he's going to go at the end of the season or not. But if they can keep a hold of him, it'll be a great boost for them next season, and we might see them back in their Cheshire final again.
Dave Christian, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, elsewhere this afternoon, we have, of course, been seeing the second stage of this year's Alaban Steam Packet Youth and Junior Cycling Tour. For those who don't know, 3 stages of racing on both closed roads and a time trial on Douglas Promenade started things off last night, featuring some of the biggest upcoming talents in cycling from the Isle of Man, the UK and further afield. Well, today the focus was on the Ellerslie Road race around the Ellerslie Circuit in the Braid areas and heading out towards the outskirts of the likes of Crosby and Glenvine. So we'll take a quick look through some of those results from today. So starting with the youth categories, taking a look at the youth e-boys side of things, Samuel Davis took victory for Kirklees Cycling Academy ahead of Finlay Smith of North Cheshire Clarion in second. Completing the podium was Team RL 360 Isle of Man's Charlie Maiden, one of five Team RL 360 riders making up that category as well. So Charlie Maiden in on the podium there. Elsewhere in the Youth E-Girls category, just the four riders in there. It was Betty Slightholm taking the victory for Clifton CC ahead of Sky Stewart of Stepping Stanes Youth Cycling Club, and completing the podium, Heather Brighouse of North Cheshire Clarion as well. Taking a look to the Youth D Boys category, Ilkeston Cycle Club topped the standings there. Lorcan Lamont completing the course in 2 minutes and 59 seconds, the only rider of that category to complete it in under 3 minutes. Team RL 360 Isle of Man did get themselves on the podium through Jensen Baglow, who finished second, 3 minutes and 3 seconds, and just 5 seconds further back, Mitch Stewart in third of Stepping Stanes Youth Cycling Club. Looking elsewhere, the Youth D Girls category, there were five riders in this particular race. Taking the top spot was Megan Smith of North Cheshire Clarion in 3 minutes and 19 seconds. 3 minutes and 31 seconds in second was Zoe Martin of Royal Albert CC. Following that was Team RL 360 Isle of Man's Beatrice Brooke getting on the podium. Two other Team RL 360 riders, Adrian Morgans in fourth and Theodora Gelling in fifth. Into the Youth C Boys category, quite a lot of competitors in this particular category, and it was an Isle of Man victory courtesy of Kieran Grimshaw of Team RL 360, completing in 28 minutes and 48 seconds. 43 seconds clear of second place Alfie Assels of Matlock CC, Kobe Stewart of Stepping Stanes Youth Cycling Club completing the top three there, so an Isle of Man victory in that category. In the Youth C Girls category, 360 Cycling was on the top step, courtesy of Libby Winkley, and then Erin Denwood and Isabella Quay of Team RL 360 Isle of Man. Isabella, they completed the course in second and third, respectively. In the Youth B Open, it was Manila Cycling that took the victory through Daniel Shipton, 51 minutes and 33 seconds. Just 1 second back, Josh Stewart, just missing out on top spot of Stepping Stanes Youth Cycling Club. Cody Bassett of Matlock Cycling Club finishing third, just 3 seconds further back as well. So quite a tight finish between all of the top three there. In fact, fourth and fifth only 3 and 5 seconds back respectively, sixth and seventh 17 and 30 seconds back respectively, so quite a close finish there, I should say. In the Youth B Girls category, it was won by Katrin Thomas of TACS Racing Composite, Annie Fern of Kirklees Cycling Academy just 1 second back in second, and then 4 seconds back further for 40 plus Cycle Park, I should say, Ava Gibson taking third spot in that one. And in the Youth A Open, it was Finlay Storey taking the top place for GKR Racing ahead of Daniel Davies of Mandy Flyers CC. The Isle of Man on the podium again, though, courtesy of Daniel Minet. He finished third for Team RL 360 Isle of Man. 55 minutes and 3 seconds, that's 36 seconds back off the eventual race winner, Finlay Storey. Well, finally tonight, the bank holiday weekend, one of the Isle of Man's national hockey teams will have the chance to achieve glory in the England Hockey Championships. The Isle of Man Ladies B team is set to face Sunbury and Walton Hawks in the final of the Women's EH Tier 3 plate at Lee Valley in London on Monday. Well, ahead of the trip, we caught up with the team's coach, Jamie Brown, on this week's edition of Friday Sport Preview. He explains how the squad is feeling ahead of the trip and what it means to them and Manx hockey as a whole. Before we get to the final itself, it's been a long old season for the national team as well as the domestic teams, because this started all the way back in October, starting out in the Tier 3 Knockout Championships, defeat in the opening round, meaning dropping into the Tier 3 plate. But ever since then, it seems like the team hasn't looked back. I mean, how's it kind of been for everyone, I guess, so far?
Yeah, well, for the Island B team, it's been a sort of like... The squad's sort of mixed with juniors and seniors, experience and the legs basically, and that team really gelled from even losing in the first game. They took that, learned lessons, and really jumped into the next game and, you know, wanted it.
I think we've seen that in the last couple of years, not just the ladies set up in the national teams, but also the men's side of things, moving from one team to two. And it seems as in the men's B team, to a certain extent as well, there has been that chance for players to develop and be exposed to a level of hockey that they may not otherwise get on the island as well. So just on what you said of the ladies' side, how valuable would this be to these players, not just this season, but going forward?
Well, that's it. And I don't want to call it a gap team, but they're sort of filling in this spot between the under-18s and the senior men's, that when they leave the under-18s team, there was a few players getting lost and they've really, a few certain players, especially the ladies and the men's B team this year, really stepped up, and they wouldn't have this exposure to English hockey that we've given, that they've got the chance to play in. And this final for the girls the weekend is going to be a great experience. I mean, we've done it with the Ireland team before, the men's first team, and it's just the experience to play at the Olympic Park where like international hockey's played in London is just a cracking experience, and they're going to love it.
Absolutely, yeah. Lee Valley as well. It's hallowed ground, I guess, for hockey ever since the 2012 Olympics in London, of course. But not just for what other teams can do for yourselves in terms of providing players experience and, as we say, exposing players to a certain type of hockey they wouldn't have seen before. But what do you think this journey says, I suppose, about Isle of Man hockey showcasing itself against these other teams and the quality that these other teams are seeing and going, actually, these teams go really far into competitions. They've got a lot to offer.
Well, that's it, and we've always said like the small island punches well above its weight in most sports categories, but hockey is the same, and for such a small nation, we do really well. And the Island men's, for example, we're away at counties next weekend. I'm sure we'll probably be back up here, but they compete against really large counties and massive populations, where in the millions rather than us in the thousands, where we really do punch above our weight.
Absolutely. We'll turn into the game itself this weekend. So Bank Holiday Monday, 12:30, pushback at Lee Valley against Sunbury and Walton Hawks as well. Very generally, how's everyone feeling about it?
Yeah. It's been, I mean, we had I'm going to call it a tough training session on Tuesday night down at KWC, because I think there was a lot of nerves and people excited. We're trying to get a few set pieces and everything sorted before we go away. And it's been hard as a coach, because we've had 20 odd players in the squad itself, and we've got to drop it down to 16. So we've got 16 in numbers, and we've got probably another 16 supporters coming down. So we're hopefully to have good numbers down there supporting us.
Like you say, is it a nice problem to have, though, like you say, with 20 odd in the squad and having to whittle it down? Of course, some are going to have to be disappointed, but is that a nice problem to have, knowing you've got that quality outside of, let's say, bare bones, shall we say?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously it gives your coaches and your managers a bit of a headache, but to have the quality and the choice and to pick the players we want is a great experience, yeah.
And just finally as well, I'm certainly not going to ask you to make any predictions or anything like that, but you know, if you were to get things over the line this weekend, just what would it say about the efforts of yourself, the team and Manx hockey in general if it was to be a successful trip?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work goes in. Luckily, I've got a good supporting team around me. My girlfriend Kim, she organises all the girls, make sure they turn up on time where they need to be. And we've got Sarah, who does all the logistics, getting teams over here, going away. And even from the help and support from the MHA and the Hockey Umpires Association this year has been fantastic. They've supplied umpires to go away and travel with us at their cost. So they've been it's been a really great experience for them. And I don't want to put any scores on it, but the girls can go the whole way comfortably, I reckon.
That's the Isle of Man Ladies B coach Jamie Brown, ahead of the team's EH Tier 3 Women's Plate Final against Sunbury and Walton Hawks at Lee Valley Hockey Centre in London on Monday. Pushback on the day, 12:30 p.m. And the Isle of Man Ladies B squad is as follows: Lucy Quine, Emma Courty, Evie Watterson, Macy Crellin, Ella Blakemore, Rachel Middleton, the captain Emily Middleton, Robin Stones, Emily Kelly, Eleanor Cayley, Morven Smith, Katie Eric, Millie DeGuer, Cara Yule, Clodagh Neelan and Jessica Birch, and we wish them all the very best of luck. That's all we have time for on Saturday Sport Classified this week. Many thanks once again for joining us. Have yourself a wonderful evening, whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful rest of your weekend as well. We'll now be handing back over to Manx Radio Gold. From us here, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.